claim to be a Bigfoot scream. It is regarded as the highest quality audio of the creature ever captured.
I'm Asmodor, feature writer for DailyStormer.com. What's going on here today is you have Antifa announced they were going to pull down this statue. You've got a whole bunch of civic nationalist cucks around here who won't admit that it's about race, but it's absolutely about race. They want to bring down the statue for the same reason they wanted to bring down the Confederate statues in New Orleans, because they are white heroes and they want to destroy white history.
So what do you mean these guys are racist? They're saying y'all straight up racist.
Well, I can't speak for the rest of these guys, but I'll take it. Yeah, I am.
So white culture is the best culture?
White culture is best culture. I'm not here to talk about what should happen to the black race. I am here to preserve our power here in this country. Power has been completely taken away from the people who conquered this continent and built this nation and who still sustain it. The promotion of interracial relationships is a tiny part of what's destroying this country. I could go on for several hours about all the things that are destroying this country. Jared Kushner, gas him.
Are you saying that because he's Jewish?
I'm saying that because he's Jewish and he has power that he shouldn't have.
So you don't like Jews?
No, I hate them.
What about homosexuals?
Hate them.
Y'all don't like Milo?
No.
Y'all hate Milo?
Milo's part of that crowd over there. Milo's not alt-right. He never was. He tried to co-opt the alt-right because he's a showboat. And he latches on to any movement he can latch on to. He latched on to the men's rights movement. And then he latched on to the Gamergate movement. And then as the alt-right rose, he tried to latch on to that. No, we don't like Milo. Milo is a promoter of faggotry and pedophilia.
What about the Proud Boys? Are they cucks?
The Proud Boys are cucks, indeed.
Milo claims to have a black gay boyfriend.
He claims to have several of them. And he's also a Jew.
I like Trump. Donald, I'm all for him.
You know, I was for Trump until he started not doing the things he said he was going to do.
Pepe the Frog racist?
Huh?
Is Pepe the Frog racist?
Absolutely.
Yes.
That's the first admission.
Well, I'm an honest guy. I don't see any reason to hide my light under a bushel, and nobody should. Most of these people who rise to that height of political power are such sociopaths in every way that they're probably also sexually sociopathic.
Is John Podesta a pedophile?
Probably. I don't know.
Y'all guys need to behave. You need to realize because you're white, this doesn't have anything to do with Texas or Sam Houston. This is because they hate white people. And the only people who don't engage in identity politics are conservative whites. And you need to get a grip on that.
Yeah, because of this.
Being colorblind has given you the degenerate, fucked up country you've got now. If you like it, keep doing what you're doing. Nobody has respect for capitulators. And Sam Houston and Texas...
Sir, I'm not sure who you think I am, but one thing I'm not is a capitulator.
You are on race. You're telling us you're going to be perceived as racist. We don't give a damn. I am a racist. I don't care. I don't give a shit what you care about.
Okay. Y'all stay down here and y'all.
No, we'll go where we want to go.
No, you won't.
Yeah, we will.
We will move around. This is a public area, and we pay taxes for it, same as anybody else, and we will move freely about it.
Boys, it's real simple.
It's real simple. You need to shut your goddamn mouth and go.
You're going to be asked to leave one time. If you don't leave, HPD is
going to...
Bullshit. Y'all are coming down here fucking with us. We didn't have nothing to do with y'all.
Yeah, and we're not calling HPD to remove you, so fuck off.
Y'all go ahead and LARP.
Yeah. Live action role playing. Real tough guys.
How that explains the mask.
Who's wearing a mask?
I see your LARPers back there wearing a mask.
Yeah, they're wearing masks. Hey,
listen.
Yeah, this is working out.
Listen up, my guys. We're not going to get into a big brawl right here.
Damn right.
You ain't.
But I tell you what, I'll give you two my phone number, and later on this afternoon, I'd be more than happy to meet you. Do you have a pen?
We got enough enemies.
Nope.
Write it down.
I have a pen.
Just announce it. We got
the camera going.
It'll be on camera. You can just say it.
Okay. Give us your number.
I'm not going to say it out loud, but I'll damn sure give it to you.
He'll give you the number of the sheriff's department.
He's being an internet tough guy in real life. I've never seen that before.
It happens all the time. Y'all heard what I said.
I don't like them putting chemicals in the water that turn the friggin' frogs gay. Do you understand that? Turn the friggin' frogs gay. Boom, boom, serious crap gay. Frogs, friggin' frogs, boom. It's not funny. I'm gonna say it real slow for you. Gay. Frogs.
Welcome to the Crypto Report.
To the Crypto Report. Been a long hiatus I've been on here. Two or three weeks. I can't remember. Is it two or three weekends that I have missed doing the Crypto Report? Well, there's a reason for that. Starting last weekend, I had two weekends in a row that I drove all across the beautiful and wonderful state of Texas to attend in real life events, and I'm sure most of the people listening right now are aware of both of them. The first one was the rally down in Houston to save the Sam Houston statue. Of course, we weren't down there to save the statue because everybody with a lick of sense knew that the statue itself was not coming down that day or any day in the near future. What we were there for was to stand up for white people and white history, and well, you know the rest of the story. And then and if you don't, you're going to hear it later on in the show. We've got a great interview with Will the Intimidator, and that's not the online persona he chose for himself. His name's Will, and he's the guy who got choked by the former wetback, current oath keeper / oath queefer, 3%er, whatever, who was there with Open Carry Texas, the cucks that I so famously BTFO'd when they came to us all armed for battle, all telling us that we weren't allowed to fly our Confederate flags because they were just racist and un-Texan. But anyway, you'll hear about all that in the interview. And he was also at the Austin event. He's one of these really energized young guys who shows up to every IRL event that he can get to. And I absolutely commend him for that. That makes him a good role model for those of you out there who thus far are just passive consumers of alt-right media. But who are on our side, start coming out to these events. They're getting bigger and bigger. We're going to have the Charlottesville event towards the beginning of August, and I am going to be there. That's right. Your friendly neighborhood Asmodor will be at the Charlottesville Unite the Right event. I'll be live streaming the whole event. I've got full access to the entire event, front stage, backstage, side stage, all of it. We're going to be doing behind-the-scenes reporting and We'll be doing interviews from backstage and all kinds of nifty stuff. We'll be out in the crowd interviewing people. and we'll probably even have some on-the-road type coverage on the way there. So if you haven't decided yet whether or not you're going, man, make sure to be there, because there's not a whole lot I can think of that could stop me from getting there. And this is probably going to be the biggest as far as attendance of actual alt-right people goes. This is probably going to be the biggest event of its type in the history of the alt-right movement. It's going to really shock people how many of us show up. So make sure and check that out. But back to Will. The reason that he's called Will the Intimidator is because if you're familiar with the incident that has really made him into a meme, it was when he went over, he wasn't with our group during the initial confrontation with the Oafqueefers, in which they came over thinking they were going to order us around and got sent away with their tails between their legs. So he didn't know about everything that was going on, the trouble that those people had started between our two groups. And he left his signs. He had some pretty cool little signs, helicopter rides, that kind of thing. And he left those over in an area where the Oafqueefers had congregated. And he went over there. And when they started causing trouble with him, he remained friendly. He tried to have a conversation with these people and everything. And he ended up getting choked out by a walking brown turd. Of an illegal alien, or at least he used to be an illegal alien. Apparently he got legal status to live here by joining the military. But hopefully, you know, at some point in the near future, he'll have that revoked, because, you know, we're finally starting to revoke the citizenship on some of these people that turn out to be criminals. It's called the denaturalization process. And boy, do I like the sound of that. Denaturalization. We need more denaturalization. But anyway, like I said, we're not going to keep this first segment too long. We're going to just update you on a couple of things about the show, and then we'll take our break and come back with the interview segment. The first thing I want everybody to know is I have a new YouTube channel, and I insist that you go and subscribe to it right now. The channel is the exact same name as this show. You just go on YouTube and do a search for The Crypto Report. That's crypto with a K, K-R-Y-P-T-O, The Crypto Report. And then you, if it doesn't come up as a channel, you know, put in that filter that you're searching for channels, but it will pop right up with the channel, and you just click on that and click on that red subscribe button, and you'll be getting all the wholesome goodness of videos of myself from the Crypto Report. And as you'll see, the stuff that's up there now, we have the full Austin event up there on video, the live stream. We've uploaded that to the channel. And we also have the video from the Houston event, the particular video of the Oafqueefers getting BTFO'd. And that video is what caused my old channel to get taken down. It's only got a little less than 7,000 views now, unfortunately. But when I uploaded the video initially, in less than 8 hours, it had over 25,000 views, and each hour the views were just getting bigger and bigger. So I was like, man, this thing's going to go viral. This is great. And then I clicked to go and check. You know, I had the little blue flag on there that anybody who's got a YouTube channel that has a few viewers has seen many times, where it says some comments have been reviewed for spam, and you click on that and it takes you to the back end where you decide if that comment was spam or not. And when I did that, instead of going there, I got the big message that my access to YouTube has been forever revoked. And what was happening was these Oath Keepers and 3%ers and the people from Open Carry, Texas were so upset at that not only there was video of them being shown to just be gay faggot punks who thought that all they had to do was strap on a rifle and that they all of a sudden they'd get to swagger around and be the bully instead of the people getting bullied for once. And when they found out that that wasn't the case and they ran away, not only was that embarrassing, but the fact that there was video of them, these people who are these, I mean, they fetishize the Constitution, practically, the United States Constitution. And they go, oh, we're out of, we don't care what anybody's views are. We're just out here to protect everybody's constitutional rights. Well, that's not what they were doing at all. They were behaving exactly like Antifa and running around. And they love to protect your speech unless they disagreed with it. So, you know, all that got on there, and they started swarming the video and reporting it. But, of course, there was nothing they could do. It was a video where the uploader was the person who was the centerpiece of the video. It was out in a public place at a public event. There wasn't any type of obscenity going. I mean, there were a couple of F-bombs thrown, I suppose, because it was heated. But there was no type of obscenity or anything like that going on it. There was no threats of violence other than these oaf queefers walking up with their guns and such. And it was purely political speech. So there's no way that that violated YouTube's terms of service and their hate speech rules. So these freaking oaf queefers, these cuck-servative boomer fucks, started swarming all over my channel and just reporting the hell out of every video on it until YouTube decided that this video that had been up for almost 6 months... it was just a little like 2 minute jokey music video type thing called Watermelon History Month, where I was lampooning the whole concept of Black History Month. They decided that that violated the hate speech laws. And so my channel was forever destroyed. And so now I have the new one, The Crypto Report. Please go and subscribe to that channel. You know, make sure that you get all your friendly neighborhood Asmodor directly into your subscription feed. And let's see, what else do we have? Donations. Yes, we are accepting the Bitcoin donations. And there is a link, whether you're listening to this directly from Daily Stormer or on the SoundCloud page itself. We have the Bitcoin address itself is on both pages. And on the Daily Stormer post, there's also a handy QR code in case you do your donating from your smartphone. You can just turn on your QR reader and do a donation directly through the QR code. And we also take Amazon gift cards. And the way that you donate us an Amazon gift card is if, like 99% of the people on Earth, you have an Amazon account online, you just go log in, you buy an Amazon gift card, you make sure and check that it's a gift, and then once you've paid for it and all, there's a button you can click to email to the person that you want to give the gift to, and just put in asmador@gmail.com, asmador@gmail.com, and click that button to send it, and it'll come right to me. And that's a real good way if you don't want to get on the Bitcoin bandwagon. That's a good way to donate to us. And I do appreciate them. And I have one or two guys that I need to show my appreciation to for helping me on post-production with the show. And so I'll probably will shoot one or so two of those Amazon gift cards, if we get any, over to them, since one in particular does not do Bitcoin. So that's, you know, just a good way for me to show these guys, because these guys, especially like Captain Von Crunch, that's his name on the Daily Stormer BBS, unless he's changed it. That's the guy who does my sound engineering, and he is just great. I mean, I couldn't hire the head of the sound engineering department at Clear Channel or something like that and have a better produced show. I mean, any type of problems with the sound that you hear are either my fault or the internet's fault. You know, it's faulty product that got sent to him, because Von Crunch really knows his business, and he is really, really doing both my show, me personally, and this movement a solid by dedicating like an entire day of his time every week to do such a great job on the sound engineering for this show. But enough about all that. We've got a great show coming up for you. So let's go ahead and go to break, and we're going to hear Mr. Bond featuring the legendary, the immortal, Robert Matthews. This is White America.
My brothers, my sisters, from the mist-shrouded forested valleys and mountains of the Pacific Northwest, I bring you a message of solidarity, a call to action, and a demand for adherence to duty as members of the vanguard of an Aryan resurgence and ultimately total Aryan victory.
I never would have dreamed in a million years I'd see so many young Europeans red-pilled like me, who share the same views and the same exact beliefs. It's like a fucking army marching in back of me. Jewish lies and deflections have our anger aimed in no particular direction, just sprays and sprays, while fake news and disinformation plays and plays till it stays stuck in your head and you hate your race. Who would have thought posting Fox merchants and pics of Hitler with some statistics looking for some lips to trigger that we would catapult to the forefront of politics? How could I predict our memes would have an impact like this? We must have rustled some elite jimmies up in Sark office, even Congress was fetching. We're causing nothing but problems, cause we opposed being displaced by our own governments. I'm loving it, they've been anti-white all my life, we've had enough of it.
White America!
We built this nation from scratch.
White America!
And the Jews gave it to blacks.
White America!
They put us in unpayable debt, but our children won't be slaves, no, we're taking it back.
White America!
We built this nation from scratch.
White America!
And the Jews gave it to blacks.
White America!
They put us in unpayable debt, but our children won't be slaves, no, we're taking it back. Look at my eyes, baby blue, baby just like yourself. A million years evolution they got under their belt. Shady Jews making moves, trying to plunder our wealth. And they induce crazy views, playing humble and frail. Let's do the math, if we were African, our IQ would be half. I just have to reach House Murray's bell curve to know that. Yet they push these stupid rappers like it's cool of being black. Terror our wiggers and nigger fucking zoophiliacs. So deracinated, we don't give a fuck that we're white. Group cohesion is evil, boy, it always leads to a right. Which is why you need to be castrated, just look at your past. And then they cry when we light a fire up under their ass. When the fascism and that stock is back at the top, and the laughter has stopped, cause the hate of the Saxon cannot be put back in the box. Parasites go wild, if not whitey, who will be working for our benefit now?
White America!
We built this nation from scratch.
White America!
And the Jews gave it to blacks.
White America!
They put us in unpayable debt, but our children won't be slaves, no, we're taking it back.
White America!
We built this nation from scratch.
White America!
And the Jews gave it to blacks.
White America!
They put us in unpayable debt, but our children won't be slaves, no, we're taking it back. See, I'm the voice of white kids in a world of shit. We inherited from our parents as a birthday gift. About a future boomers never gave two squirts of piss. They just wanted to splurge without disturbances. But the disillusioned youth figured out who's to blame, and they flip, cause suddenly traitors and Jews get named. We mix humor and racism, and kids were hooked right in, fed up with all the hate against people who look like them. Now we put their narratives under a microscope, expose the lies they told. We're like this rope, waiting to choke, tightening around Slomo's throat while he's yelling crime things. Shut it down, I'm exposed. All I hear is Nazi, Nazi, time to end all this white supremacist patriarchy from kites and feminist commies telling women that man is the problem and chopping the dick off a toddler, cause you think his gender is wrong, it's a commendable option. But this degenerate present has us reminiscing the past when the same satanic shit was met with swastika flags. So now the Führer is our closest pal, our poster child, the motherfucking spokesman now for
White America!
We built this nation from scratch!
White America!
And the Jews gave it to blacks!
White America!
They put us in unpayable debt, but our children won't be slaves, no, we're taking it back!
White America!
We built this nation from scratch!
White America!
And the Jews gave it to blacks!
White America!
They put us in unpayable debt, but our children won't be slaves, no, we're taking it back! its character. Only to be subverted and fleeced by a Semitic elite that later drove them to fight their own kin overseas. The same parasitic, venomous tribe that's been plaguing our race since the beginning of time is still the ringleader of the circus of worthless, traitorous whores we call our democratically elected representatives, and the main purveyor of the sick depravity that we call modern Western culture. Fuck democracy! Fuck you, Jews! Fuck you with the freest of speech, this divided states of why America will allow me to have. Fuck you!
Look, that's anti-communism.
I don't care, this isn't about anti-communism. It's about the fucking monument.
What about the memes?
No blood for Israel.
Excuse me. What about the memes? No blood for Israel. What about the memes?
What's the problem here?
Look, I just signed it, okay? What's wrong with your sign?
No, it's because of her. Yeah. She keeps following me and telling people that I'm, like, I don't know what
you're saying. I didn't tell you anything. You're
telling me to get the fuck out. You're an agitator.
I told you to get the fuck out.
These are good memes.
Dude, this is not Comic Con.
I know. What is it? I thought it was just coming to make friends, and you got this guy wants to fight. Look at him.
That's
because
you talk shit about his
whole thing.
Let's go.
Y'all want me
to talk shit about him.
These people literally
followed
me.
Right now, or we get the cops. Right now, or we get the cops. Pick up your shit.
Go.
Right now. Right now. Right now, I mean right now.
Guys, you gotta go, man.
Son. Yeah. You're leaving here one way or another. Right now, how do you and we can help you.
Hey, let's go. 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 Let's go.
Let's go.
Welcome back to the Crypto Report.
All right, welcome back, everybody. And as promised in the first segment, we have Will the Intimidator from he became quite famous by getting choked from behind by a wetback coward who was embedded with the Oath Cucks and Open Carry Texas and the Three Percenters and all those guys at the Houston rally that they had called the Save the Statue rally or Save Sam rally. So let's just bring him right on. Welcome to the Crypto Report, Will.
Hello, everybody.
Well, you have become over the last couple of weeks kind of the...
A meme?
A meme, yeah, but more, I mean, a specific meme. You have become the poster boy for the hypocrisy of these constitutionalist types, the alt-light. It's like you suddenly became public enemy number one because you strolled over there. I guess my understanding is to get your signs that you had left there and that you had, as everyone can see on video, we'll link the video to the thing on here, but you were having, or at least trying to have, a friendly conversation with those people. But before we get to that, let's kind of set the stage for what was going on here. And everybody's heard me describe it. So let's hear, in your words, what was going on at Houston and what made you want to go there that day?
Okay. Well, there was also a thing in Austin. I wanted to go to that. But I thought, since I heard you were in the Vanguard guys were going to be there, I was like, well, I might as well go and try to network with these guys and, you know, build up the community and the local happening. So I saw the post, the supposed Antifa page, and right away I could tell that was a troll. Like, it was totally obviously fake because I have some troll Antifa accounts of my own. So,
yeah.
Well, you know, I just kind of went out there. That little confrontation or whatever where you own those faggots, I missed that. I had just walked up after that, and then we you know, marched out, and I marched with you guys. They didn't bother me when I walked through with my flag and everything. It was whenever I met up with y'all that they knew I was, like, with y'all, so they knew who I was based on that. And when I came back, yeah, I came back to get my signs and stuff, but I didn't think it would be a problem. But they immediately rushed me, like, right when I came in, and it was a bunch of three. I mean, there were some Oath Keepers, but everyone who was, like, up in my face had a fucking Three Percenter patch. I don't really know a lot about the Three Percenters, but And a lot of 3%ers have been kind of pissed off at me for talking shit. But it's like, hey, man, y'all got, they're like, we're not, I'm a 3%er and I'm not a cuck. And it's like, dude, you can't be mad at me. You need to regulate that shit in your group. You know, you need
if you consider yourself not a cuck, you need to quit calling yourself a 3%er. That's like saying, you know, I'm a nigger, but I'm not black. It's just a ridiculous statement to make. If you're not a cuck, quit calling yourself a fucking 3%er, because the 3%ers are cucks.
Exactly.
But what the 3%ers is about, since you brought it up, they have this theory that, and it, from what I can tell from my reading of history, is that it's hogwash. But they have this theory that only 3% of Americans altogether took part in the American Revolution. And they think, well, if we can get 3% of the people to identify as 3%ers, we'll have the 1776 all over again. It's basic bitch Alex Jones shit. But go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with that. But yeah, so I didn't really expect much resistance, and it wasn't just my signs. I kind of wanted to go back in there because earlier I had seen, you know, people with Kekistan, DS Volt shirts, fasci haircuts, and like I knew some of our guys were there, man. Like, and I wanted to kind of network with them. So when I first came in, they had stormed me, and they came up to me. And they were like, oh, you're a racist. I'm like, why? They're like, because we're with those guys. And I'm like, why are they racist? You know, like, I didn't think they knew really who Vanguard was. But so they were like, yeah, you're a racist. What does this flag mean? And that David Ahmad came up to me. He's like, what's going on here? And he's like, what's that flag? And I was like, dude, it's just the alt-right. It's our alt-right flag. It's a black sun. It's, you know, esoteric like rune or whatever. And he was like, well, as long as it's not hateful, you can have it. And so yeah, I was like, okay. And so I walked into the park to find my signs, and these people were just following me, man, harassing me, talking shit, man. They were like, we know you're a Nazi, we don't want hate here, you need to leave. And I was like, well, fucking what's his name said I could stay. And so they just kept pushing it. And like the crazy thing was, I would see, you know, guys that looked maybe on our level, and I would walk up and try to talk to them and you know, kind of network. And they would come up and be like, he's a Nazi, don't talk to him. He's with those guys. And these guys who were kind of crypto Nazis themselves would be like, oh shit, I'm getting doxxed right now, I need to leave. You know what I mean? There's a bunch of people in my face. And so I was like, I couldn't even, they wouldn't let me talk to anyone. They would scare them away anytime I tried to, like. So finally I got my signs and shit, and they were like, all right, you got your shit, now leave. And I was just kind of stalling. I was like, fuck these dudes, man, I'm not leaving. I'm just gonna kind of chill here and until they make me leave. So I was just kind of, it didn't take long. I mean, I stalled for like maybe a few minutes, and then they fucking got physical. But the funny thing is, like, I'm usually an antagonizer. Like, I go to commie rallies, socialist rallies, and I'm fucking full fash, I'm an asshole, I start shit. But this time, honestly, bro, I was trying to make friends. Like I said in the video, like, I was literally there to find like-minded people. I wasn't there to fight. I was there to rub elbows. And
well, there's no denying that you were being polite in the video, and you weren't like, you didn't have any aggressive tone of voice, and you weren't purposely saying things to offend the people around you. And the person throwing threats around was Ahmad, when he was telling you things like, you're going to leave here one way or the other and all that. But the thing is, you know, these civic nationalist groups, the principles they claim that they stand on, these people violated every single one of them over and over, not just throughout the day, but just during that one interaction with you, because they're supposed to be about enforcing all the constitutional stuff, all the civic stuff, and some of the most very basic parts of that is, of course, what everybody constantly mouths about, the free speech stuff. But even on another level from that, the fact that this was a public park, and anybody who lives in the state of Texas is paying taxes that go to that public park. And whether even people who don't live in the state of Texas and pay those taxes have the right to be at that public park. And these people felt that they had the authority, because they had guns on, to go around and tell people, we don't like you, you're not allowed to be in public, you're not allowed to express yourself, free speech doesn't apply to you. And it culminated in you getting attacked physically by just this big mob at the point where they followed you out when you finally, after you got choked, when you tried to get away, and or not tried to get away, but when you were walking away, they followed behind you. In the video, it looks like 100 or 200 of them. And the big cowards, Ahmad, finally lays his hands on you when the police and the cameras are right there, which is it's a huge contrast to their behavior earlier that everybody can see on video as well. When Vanguard and the Daily Stormer book clubs were both just starting to meet, we were at this little staging area where everybody was supposed to meet, and most of our people weren't even there yet. There were probably 25 of us, maybe. And about 100 of these guys show up, just come walking over there, following behind Ahmad. And Ahmad starts trying to tell our guys that we're not going to be allowed to fly Confederate flags, and we're not going to be allowed to go to this part of the park or that part of the park. And that's when you see where I went in there and I confronted him. And it was amazing how all of a sudden the tough guy stuff kind of melted away. And when I told him, no, we're here and we're going to do what we want to do here. We're going to say what we want and we're going to move around freely and do it. That's when all of a sudden they weren't going to physically remove us themselves anymore. He's okay, boys, we're going to go contact Houston Police Department. And what a contrast that was, where even at 5-1, they were scared to do anything. But when they got you, and you know, you were unsuspecting because, like you said, you weren't there for the initial confrontation, and you go over there to get your signs and you're like, well, okay, I'll have a friendly confrontation, not confrontation, but conversation with these guys while I'm doing this. And all of a sudden now, boy, their attitude has just totally changed. They've got odds of 100-1 or 200-1, and they're all tough. And one thing that I really noticed, they had these fucking ugly camo dykes in group, these women who were dragging these guys around by their balls, who were inciting them to do this. Yep. And when it finally happened, it was an illegal beaner that did it. Go ahead and expound on that if you want.
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah, there were definitely too many women involved with, I mean, I even said this one lady, I mean, the one in the video, she followed me the whole time, just in my ear nagging. And I was like, somebody get their woman. There's a woman unsupervised over here. Could someone please rein her in, you know? And that just pissed her off more. But I mean, dude, and I got to just say, I was, when I saw that video of you just fucking owning those faggots, I was so happy, man. Thanks for that. But what I really want to say, man, is about Open Carry Texas. David Ahmad, yeah, he's a piece of shit. But some of those guys from Open Carry actually on May 1st in Austin helped us BTFO the Communist March. And so those guys are cool. But David wasn't there when the real commies were fucking there.
Yeah, so, well, David Ahmad is a coward. He's a coward and a self-promoter, and you can tell. I didn't know anything at all about him before Houston, and by the time I got home from Houston, and other people had already posted these videos, there was information in the comment sections about who he was. So I just started searching him on YouTube and Google and all that stuff, and the guy, yeah, he's always kind of been about this open carry stuff, but he hasn't always been this Mr. Establishment, suck on the cops type guy. He used to be, and when I say used to be, I mean very recently, he was one of these, I mean, you would think, other than the fact that he had a gun on, you'd think that he was a leftist. He was one of these guys who would go out in public before open carry was completely legal like it is now. And he would open carry, and then have somebody filming him with the purpose of having people call the cops on him. And when the cops would come out, he would start ooking like a nigger. He, you ain't got no right come asking my ID. I'm just walking up the sidewalk. And I'm like, yeah, with an AR-15. Now, can we see your ID? And he would go on and on with that shit and get real aggressive with the cops. And so, you know, the guy, right, and that stuff was real popular just a couple of years ago. It all fell apart when most of the activists thought that it was going to be a good idea to go down to Ferguson and teach those the blacks how to cop block. That's when that movement kind of jumped the shark. But he rides whatever wave, and you could see him changing his narrative during that day. I mean, like I said, he came over to us initially, and he was telling us everything was fine, and he didn't even bring up racism. The word racism didn't really even get brought up until I brought it up. But he was saying just no Confederate flags. And, you know, the Vanguard guys, they had the flags like you had with the black sun on them, and they had the black and white Vanguard flags with the fascies on them and everything. And I'm standing right there in a Daily Stormer T-shirt, and he didn't have any problem with that. They didn't want that Confederate flag flown. And he was telling us, oh, you guys can hang with us. You can do whatever. Just don't fly that flag. And when he got, when I showed the world what a punk he was, and they turned around and walked off, his attitude changed. And I believe that what happened to you was a direct consequence of the confrontation that we all had with him earlier that day, because they really got kind of, like I said, they got punked out, and they were looking to try to redeem their image, but there was just no redeeming it at that point. And what they pulled on you made them look 10 times worse than if they had just said, okay, you know, fair enough. These guys don't want to be involved with us anyway. And that was the weird thing, is like these goofballs with their great big bellies, and, you know, who are out there LARPing with their AR-15s and their body armor and all this shit, they come over to a group that hasn't even looked in their direction, assuming that they're the cool kids and that we're just dying to hang out with them. And they came over there to set the conditions on hanging out with them. And they were shocked to learn that we had no interest.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's funny because a lot of the open carry guys have reached out to me. A couple people reached out just totally disavowing these guys. Like you said, like there was no redeeming them. Like everything they did was just, they had no move on the chessboard. Like it was just, they were cutting against themselves anytime they tried to do anything. And that is, you're right, it was a direct result of them getting like punked out. Like about the, like a lot of people are like, oh, what was it, the Black Sun flag? Oh, did people recognize you as a famous Nazi or something? And I'm like, no, dude, it was just because Vanguard wouldn't cuck with the rebel flag. And there was a couple of old ladies and stuff that David went up to and told them, like, you have to put the flags up, like just bullying people. And they did, like a lot of people complied. And then of course they set a separate side for rebel, some people like a rainbow Confederate people and everything. But yeah, it was definitely, that's what it was over. It was over rebel flags, that whole incident.
Yeah, well, and you're right that there are lots of those open carry Texas guys who very likely agree completely with us and can't stand what their leadership pulled that day, because it wasn't just a mod. I can't remember the other guy's name, but they've got some steroid-looking guy who was the event security guy for that day, and he approved one person to fly the Confederate flag. I can't remember her last name, but it's this old black woman who's one of these rainbow Confederates that got a lot of press. She was one of the ones that was camping out in front of one of the Confederate statues in New Orleans in the weeks leading up to them getting taken down, and Antifa attacked them and all. Her name's Arlene something. But he went up to her and he said, look, we don't have a problem with you flying it, but can you please be the only person to fly it? You're the only person here who should be flying a Confederate flag. That's how cucked these people are. And now, you know, like I said, I don't know that guy's name, but I've looked at him and he looks vaguely Hispanic. But see, here's the other thing, is Ahmad is not white either. Now, he may have a lot of white blood in him from intermarrying or whatever. But when I heard that last name, I was like, oh, no, this guy's not white. And I went and started doing research on that name. And there are only two cultures that that name commonly comes from. And one is Moroccan and the other is Dotted Indian. And so, you know, all these Oath Keeper groups and these various Patriotard groups, and even the ones like Open Carry Texas, which had it not been for something like this, I would have said, yeah, that's a group I support because, you know, I mean, I knew when they started talking about Open Carry that there would be problems with these guys like that we dealt with. But in theory, I support it, you know. And so you've got all these groups who they've been virtue signaling for so long that they have purposely, whether consciously or subconsciously, they have purposely elevated all these non-whites into leadership roles in their groups. And I know you're as aware as anyone of the whole, you know, my base black guy, my base Hispanic guy thing that all these civic nationalist groups have going on. And so you've got all these white guys who are members of these groups who a large percentage of them agree with us, but as long as they want to be part of those groups, what are they going to say? Because the leadership's a bunch of either cucked non-whites or a bunch of cucked boomers with their mixed grandbabies they love and all that shit.
Yeah, it's like, I guess anyone who's kind of just stuck on that side is there's some kind of compromising thing about them, you know? It's either they're married to a non-white, they have non-white kids. It's always something. There's always a reason, I feel like, maybe, but I don't know.
Yeah, you're going to get that a lot with groups that heavily recruit from the military, especially if the military recruitment that they're doing mostly consists of like Gen Xers and older, because you know, we still have like Marine and naval bases in places like Korea and Okinawa, and we used to have the giant one in the Philippines. And like when I was a young guy, lots of my friends would come back from the Marines or whatever with their little Filipino wives and all, and that's where a lot of that comes from. But let's get back. Let's talk about the thing that I know the listeners are most interested in. Let's talk about the Beaner. Do you know his name offhand? I can look it up if you don't.
I think it's Carlos Leija. I think,
yeah, Leija or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure how you pronounce it. I actually got to get back with HPD. I emailed them the video and I talked with one of their detectives. I have to follow up with them. Probably do it on Monday.
So charges are being pressed.
Yes, yeah, I filed a police report. I mean, it wasn't. I mean, I was pretty much unscathed. I mean, yeah, I was starting to black out a little bit and everything, but at the same time, I just feel like, dude, there's got to be a repercussion for that kind of behavior, you know? Like,
well, yeah, there does, because you can't let you can't send a signal that we're going to let these people bring these fucking violent brown people to the rallies with them and use them like attack dogs. And then the attack dogs are just going to be let off every time. And the thing is, even though you're okay, you very possibly could have not been okay. You know, the state of Texas has laws that specifically deal with assaults that cut off your airflow, because as everyone knows, once you can't breathe anymore, you're pretty much screwed. And, you know, the guy, and on top of that, the guy had at least one loaded firearm.
Yep.
Strapped to him. So, you know, there you are, an unarmed guy, and you got this guy who's packing a rifle. And if I remember correctly, I think he had a pistol on his side too. And he comes up behind you fully armed and attacks you with a move that is designed to cause people to black out and or die.
Yep.
And so, you know, what we've got going on here, if the Harris County District Attorney's Office does its job, is we have multiple felonies. We have aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. We have assault that, by constricting the airway. We have you know, just all kinds of things. And not only that, this was this falls under the suppression of civil rights, because the reason that he was attacking you was because of, well, I was going to say your free speech, but he was actually attacking you for speech that they all assumed you would make, because you didn't actually even say any of the things that they were upset about.
Well, it was because I was white. I mean, he even posted a video, his little live stream of him, like, he was, whenever he got a little live stream of you bouncing the fucking boomers, and the whole time he was like, these racist Nazis, white supremacists. And then my buddy Z came up and said, I want my grandkids to look like me. And he was like, he was going on and on about, man, that's fucking racist. Only a Nazi would want their kids to look like them and all this and that. And we're going to mix, and everybody's going to be mixed. And it's like, obviously there's a racial motive with this guy.
Yeah. So I'm assuming that he would be perfectly fine with it if he had some little daughter, and that some Tyrone, blacker than coal, comes along and gets with her, and he has a bunch of kinky-headed, thick-lipped black children. I bet, you know, Mexicans are well known for being so non-racist. I bet he'd just love that.
Right. Yeah. And him putting me in the chokehold, it's like if those people wouldn't have been there, he probably would have put me to sleep, or if not killed me. So you could see they were like, oh shit, this dude is like fucking choking this dude for real. Like it seemed like they kind of panicked a little bit, but hey man, that shit, they unleashed their attack dog, you know.
Yeah, they absolutely did. And they did more than unleashed him. It's like they sat there and poked him. Those women did, for sure. They sat there and poked him and poked him and poked him till they got him foaming at the mouth. And then they unleashed him on you, pretty much. And I'm sure that in the future, if any of this ever comes up, and of course it won't, because it's too much work for the authorities. But if they were actually on top of this the way they should be, they would be investigating at the very least that one woman who was doing all that inciting. And they'd say, look, you know, you're responsible for that, legally responsible for this as well. You incited this. And they'd say, oh, no, we didn't have any idea. And of course, that's exactly what they were trying to do. Maybe not him in particular, but that woman was trying to get someone to attack you. And, you look around, this is just another example of these guys being just like Antifa. Every example that you look at, the way these guys have behaved over the last few months at these various things, that they look different than Antifa. They claim to have different politics than Antifa. They react to the same things exactly the same way, and they operate in the same way. Just like, you know, you can find videos all over YouTube where, you know, some big nationalist dude will be arguing with some group of Antifa, and some stupid bitch that's a member of the Antifa will come to the front of them and start pushing on them and slapping at them and stuff like that. And they'll tell them, look, you fuck with me, I'm going to fuck up some of these men you're with. And they tell those men, you better get control of your women, because these women are about to get you fucked up. And then, of course, 99 times out of 100, that's exactly what happens. And these guys, same thing. But, you know, like I said, the problem was, you've got all these good Texans who, you know, they just wanted to be part of some kind of a movement where they could carry their rifle around with them and stuff like that. And they wound up in a group run by a bunch of retarded monkeys who had no idea how to control their groups when they got them out there. I mean, you know, these guys were supposed to be the ones with the big, well-planned, well-organized demonstration. They were on, they had a Facebook group called This Is Texas that, funnily enough, they constantly referred to it by its acronym, TIT, TIT. But for a week, they had all, not a week, 2 weeks, they had all this planning going on. They had all these professionals. They were doing all this fundraising and everything. And then when they got out there, they were just an unruly, retarded mob. And the people who had an actual organized protest that got its ideas and the imagery and everything that we wanted out there was, you know, Vanguard and the book clubs and all, that were organized by nothing more. I mean, of course, there was behind the scenes organizing with the various groups and all, but the, it was just basically the whole thing was a call to arms based on two posts that week that I posted on Daily Stormer just saying, hey, I'm going down there, meet me there, you know?
Yeah. And that is true. You were right, dude. There are a lot of good Texans and a lot of good guys kind of peppered into these groups. And they did come out and a lot of them did come forward. So to all those people, to everyone who supported me, I just want to say thanks. Thank you, Asmodor. Thank you, everyone. I've had such an overwhelming like amount of support, you know, following this event. And it's been really cool, man.
Really well, happy. Yeah, and you're a guy who you've been showing up to these things for a while now, and you show up regularly. You were not only at the Houston event, but the next week when we had the big Texas is Ours event on the Capitol steps, you were there too, right?
Right. Yeah, I was actually one of the main organizers. We had been planning that for a while, and a big shout out to my guys who helped, you know, Chef Guardi and all, and Paul and everyone. That was pretty cool, man. You came out and Enoch, and we had a lot of big names. It was a great, yeah. I want to do IRL activism. Like, that's what I do. I work, but whenever I got time, I try to get out of work. I try to do what I can to make it to these things. And it's really important, you know, to show the world. I mean, look at this movement. I mean, and it's just such a contrast between us and these boomers and these alt-light. It's like, look at us. We're a bunch of young, cool, fucking good-looking guys trying to just advocate our own existence. And it's really just an amazing thing. It's taken off.
Well, yeah, it is. And as someone who's older than most of you, it's been very comforting to me to see this thing finally taking off the way that it is. What got you into alt-right type thinking and activism?
Well, I was a libertarian for a long time, but I guess the internet kind of radicalized me, I guess you could say. I don't know. I guess once I found out that other people were closet, I was kind of a closet racist. I couldn't deny race realism. You know what I mean? Just empirically, throughout my life, I kind of, it just becomes, once you're born, well, I guess this kind of goes for a lot of us in the movement, is like, we weren't eased into this paused fucking degenerate multiculturalism. Like, we were born into it. We've been, you know, if you're a straight white male and you're like my age, you were called a Nazi since fucking middle school. You know, you were my, I've been a mine. I'm in Texas. I'm in Houston. It's the most diverse city in the United States. So it's just something you can't ignore. Eventually it's just too much, man. And once I realized how many people were out there feeling the same way, and I was just, I just joined up, man. I had to network and talk to these people and finally get to say the things that I have been thinking, not being able to say. And it was just so refreshing to be, it's so fulfilling to be around people who understand, and, you know, just being among your, you know, it's like it's a fraternity.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, and it hits you on a lot of levels, because one of the things that they try to do to us, and that they did forever before everybody had complete access to all this information that's on the internet now, is they would isolate you. Because, like, you know, you get from first grade on in school, you wake up in the morning and your children's programming would be about how everybody is totally equal and they're all the same except for white people because they're evil. And then you go to school. Yeah. And then you go to school and you've got all the forced diversity and you've got the celebration of every culture except for the culture that has enabled the very education system that you're learning this garbage in. And I think, you know, like I said, now you've got this internet that energizes a lot of people at a younger age. But, you know, before the internet, like even in my generation, they were the children's programming and the schooling, they had all this crap going. not necessarily to the fever pitch intensity that they have it going now, but they had it going. And, you know, they were constantly lecturing us about evil Whitey, and we owe these poor blacks and all these poor cultures that we've colonized and enslaved and all this stuff. And the only way that a lot of people would have that conditioning broken was to enter the workforce. And that's why I think, you know, now you see a movement that's a lot more college educated and all that. Whereas before the internet, it was a lot more blue collar, because you'd have guys who would leave high school and do like I did and go get a union job or do something like that. And they're immediately thrown into the workforce with all these blacks and all these Hispanics and such, without the 4 years of additional psychological conditioning of the university environment. But now you've got, you know, young guys like you who have radicalized themselves by seeking out the real info, the real truth on the internet.
Yeah.
And so by the time they have either entered the workforce or entered college or whatever, they are already fully Nazi.
Right. And yeah, and that's how if you make if you kind of just decide that you're going to be unbiased and follow the data, you're going to be a fascist by the time you get to the end of it. I mean, that's where it goes. I mean, if you follow the data, you know, if you just look at it, you know, for what it is, you know, and you're going to be red-pilled, and you're going to realize, like, holy shit, if you don't cuck, if you follow the facts, you follow the truth all the way to the end, you're going to come out a fascist. I mean, there's just no way around it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it was, I think it was George Lincoln Rockwell was the one who said that National Socialism was the ideology of reality, that it, you know, it acknowledges reality, and that every other ideology that is popular in the West, you know, and this has been going on for over 100 years, other than National Socialism, just about any ideology that ever gained any traction in the West has basically been an ideology that seeks to alter either reality itself or our perception of it, because you have to fit reality, like, you know, take communism. You know, communism is the ultimate equality ideology, but all the other common ones, whether you're talking about the basic bitch conservatism of the mainstream GOP or the liberalism of the left in the West or whatever, they all want you to accept a bunch of false notions about equality and fairness and all these other things. While National Socialism, or, you know, it, if you're not particularly National Socialist, just, you know, these ideologies of racial realism that all fall under this description of Nazi that everybody who doesn't like or understand it wants to call it, it acknowledges these realities while not wanting to hurt anyone. You have to acknowledge that, you know, there are certain things that certain groups do better than others. And the thing that white people do better than anyone else is create civilizations. We create great civilizations that enhance the entire world. And as long as they're populated by white people, they're productive, wholesome, peaceful civilizations. And of course, that's why our enemies have sought to do everything they can to import every third world mongrel and idiot that they can into our societies and get them the ability to vote. And that's why they have taken, and by establishing civil rights laws, they have handed off all these extra rights to blacks and every other group that's not the main group that runs the country. So yeah, you're definitely on to something there. Well, let's talk about the Austin event a little more. I saw you there, I talked to you there, but I didn't get to interact with you much. Were you there for the whole thing, for the after party and all that?
Oh yeah, I was there all the way through. Yeah, what do you want to know specifically?
Well, I mean, there was a lot of interesting stuff there. Like when when we went, they were like, now one of them turned, it was a troll. It was when we were trying to record a live edition of The Daily Show. And I hope that at some point that thing comes out because it was really good. But my understanding is there were some audio problems with it because the audience was excited and boisterous and all that. So, right. but there were a couple of incidents of like these Antifa types coming in there. Whoever organized the event may have known, but I didn't know until after the thing was over that this, I can never remember whether it's called Schlotz or Schultz Beer Garden. What the place that we went, Schultz. Okay. Schultz Beer Garden, that this thing was like, or is like a regular hangout for these leftist groups in Austin, in particular, Indivisible Austin, which is like, I went and looked at their website and it's the most paused thing you ever saw. It's like a bunch of Somalian women in burkas and a bunch of lisping fags and all who come on this thing. Like, I'm Texan. Oh, I'm so Texan. And they openly admit that, like, the Austin Red Guard, which is like this really aggressive Antifa group,
yeah,
that's like their shock troops. When if somebody does something they don't like and they can get any information on them, they pass it over to these Red Guard, and they post it on all their various websites and Twitter accounts. And I noticed a lot of people from the Austin event had their pictures and a bunch of information claiming that it's accurate up there. And of course, I wouldn't bring anybody on the show and ask them to say, oh, is this true? Is that true? Because they've done the same thing to me a bunch of times, and they claim the most outrageous crap that I'm just basically saying, if you see anybody's docs on an Antifa page or a leftist page, just assume that every single thing they say other than the person's name is just bullshit, because I've had these people claim that I'm like a gay porn mogul, like that I produce so much gay porn and make so much money off of it that I have funded some type of a global white supremacy organization, even though I'm just a dude in my room with a microphone. I saw you and I saw several other people, and I'm not going to name the places that I saw them, but I saw them on various outlets that the local Austin Antifa uses, but they got it kind of the other way this time. They sent in, did you see the kid they sent in with the green shirt who was trying to take pictures of people?
No, I didn't see my friend. So the Red Guard and Mayday, we fucking like took their masks off, took their flags, beat them up, whatever. And we had a mask, and one of my friends came up to the window with the Red Guard mask on. And
yeah, that was during the show. Yeah.
Yeah. I saw that. Yeah. That was a pretty good troll, I guess. But I didn't see anyone else. Like, Indivisible Austin claims they were there and so offended, and Schultz should give all the money that was made off of us that day to the ADL or some stupid shit. But I don't think they were there. Like, they may have, maybe one of them may have been eating there or something, but they were like, yeah, we were having an Indivisible Austin event and people were traumatized that Nazis were in the other room.
There were some of them there, but I don't believe they were there because we were there. Now, they could have been, because we certainly... and I'm not saying this is criticism, but we certainly made it easy for them if that's what they wanted, because we had the big event, and then we had the march around the Capitol, and then the march just marched to the beer garden. But so we could have been followed there. But the thing is, there's one, I live streamed the whole thing, and I've gone and looked really closely at some of it. And there's at one point, right before I had my guy turn off the live stream, it's like, I didn't know we were there at the place. And it's like, all of a sudden we're there and somebody opens the door for me to the Schultz place. And I walk in and I say, okay, let's shut down the live stream. And for about 10 seconds, you can see the people sitting at tables and booths. And I went to looking, and, of course I can't clearly see the backs of any of the shirts, but I saw like the shirt that the one Jew that, I don't know, you may have heard on The Daily Show where I lit up this Jew about, are you a Jew and why are you against white people and we're going to throw you in an oven and all that. He was wearing one of those shirts. And it looks like there are a couple of tables that are people wearing those shirts. So apparently maybe they have a regular Saturday meetup there.
I don't think that. That's our regular spot when we go to Austin. So we've done live streams there before, you know, just us hanging out and before an event or whatever. And they actually doxed it on the Red Guards page. They were saying that this is a known Nazi hangout. If they saw us in town, they probably said, "Oh, I bet they're gonna go there." I don't think it was coincidental. I think that they just knew. You know what I mean?
Well, maybe so. But there were, like I say, it looks like there were maybe like a couple of booths full of these people. But they sent some kid. Now, I only heard this. I didn't. I was up at this bar where you order your drinks and food waiting in line. And they were like, as they got the guy out, I heard that they had sent some kid in a green t-shirt in to try to take pictures of us. And he got run out of there real fast. And then about 2 minutes later, somebody tells me that they sent this old guy in here. And I said, "Well, where is he?" And they said, "Well, he just went out the back door." And I went out the back and I looked and I was like, "No, they sent the Happy Merchant." And the guy did. He looked just like the Happy Merchant. And I asked him straight up if he was a Jew. And he said, "Yeah." And he was wearing one of their shirts that on the front said, I believe what it said was Indivisible ATX. Their organization is called Indivisible Austin, but you can sometimes they tag it as Indivisible ATX. And on the back, it said hashtag resist. And so that's when he and I got into that little back and forth. But yeah, I mean, this is the standard thing that they try to do is that they want to send people in because – and the reason is they are scared to death of our message. And now – they're scared to death of us. This is in 2 weeks. This was the second big event that there's no excuse in the world for Antifa not showing up at them. The one in Houston and the one in Austin, they were both. I mean, it was broadcast well ahead of time when and where these events were going to be held. And this is the only thing that Antifa exists to do is to show up at these events and allegedly break skulls and tear things up and set things on fire wherever we show up. But it appears to me that what I've been saying all along is true. I was saying this way back last year, like before I went to Austin. I said, well, you know, these Antifa, they love to go to some type of event that's basically the 2016 or 2017 equivalent of one of the old Tea Party things where you've got all these old retired boomer conservatives out there. They like to go up to these old people and start accusing them of being Nazis and attack them and such. But when you get a bunch of young, healthy guys who are actually like, "Yeah, I'm a Nazi, come punch me," they won't even show.
Oh, yeah, definitely not. And it seems like everything they do to try to shut our message down just kind of validates it. And, yeah, whenever they're – yeah, I was – dude, on May Day, they posted a video of me on Occupy Democrats, like, screaming at fucking these masked commies during their march. I was like – they were chanting, "Punch a Nazi," you know? I was like – I had a megaphone, and I was like, "Hey, I'm a fucking Nazi. Come punch me. What's up?" And then, like, Occupy Democrats tried to spin it as a Trump rally. They're like, "Look at these Trump people saying they're Nazis." Like, dude, that was not a Trump rally. That was a fucking communist march.
Yeah,
I don't know. they don't do shit, dude. They would not do shit. They had guns and everything, and they were just getting pushed around and getting their masks ripped off of them, dude. It was beautiful.
Yeah, well, and you know, introducing these guns into this thing brings a whole weird new dynamic to it that I don't think the people who are carrying the guns, at least from the other sides, have really grappled with it psychologically, because what it does is, and of course, before I say this, I want to preface this by saying I'm really glad that in Houston, some of the Vanguard guys brought their rifles and stuff. And now that the guns are in play, it probably will be a necessary thing for us to have guys who, you know, can legally open carry and stuff like that and have a few of them here and there so that these guys with guns can't just come push people around. Because that, as Open Carry Texas showed us, that's what a whole bunch of these people will do. As I've said before, they remind me of cowards, that they use their guns the way that the average coward uses booze. You know, he's like, I don't have any courage, I better drink some. Well, they right. strap their courage across their belly. But other than, you know, the legitimate purpose of it, which, like I said, is to have a few of our guys, if necessary, with guns to keep us from being pushed around because we're unarmed. The introduction of guns into this thing is almost totally to the disadvantage of whoever has all the guns, because now they have completely taken themselves out of play for doing anything except standing there with a gun.
Yeah.
Because other than, and people, please listen to me carefully when I say this. There are crazy people out there, and I'm not saying that nobody with these guns is ever going to shoot you, but it's a very, very, very low likelihood. These people who are carrying the guns out there, they're way less likely to do anything to you than the people without them, because now that they've got a gun on, the only thing they can do basically is shoot you. Because even if they do attack you without shooting you, they're in deep shit. I mean, they have effectively taken themselves out of the battle.
Yeah, I agree with that. I feel like we haven't had like the Berkeley level violence in a lot of the things here in Texas is because of the guns. It's kind of, you know, Antifa hasn't cracked a single window in Texas that I know of. So the guns definitely do kind of change the dynamic. But that's why I don't ever carry them. I mean, I come out there, you know, and I'm like, let's fight. You know, if they want to fight, we get, you know, that's how I mean, of course not at the Houston thing, but when there's commies out there, dude, I mean, I don't believe they have free speech, to be honest. I know that might sound kind of,
That's fine. I agree with that, sentiment. I'm not a civic nationalist. I'm not a constitutionalist. I'm a fascist. And, If we were in control of things, if I were making the rules, communist speech would be outlawed with penalty of death.
Agreed. Helicopter rides.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not here. That's the really hilarious thing about these constitutionalist types, who they come out and they say, "Well, I'm here to protect everybody's free speech." Well, I don't give a shit about their free speech. I want to march these people into an oven. You think I care about their speech? You know, their speech is vile. It's horrid. We need book burnings on a large scale to get rid of their speech.
Right. And it's just like the argument they make is like, we can't allow white supremacists to speak or it's going to lead to this and this. Well, it's like, okay, we're allowing this fucking paused communist bullshit. And look, they're taking our monuments down. They're painting the streets gay as fuck with rainbows. Like, this communism does have an effect, and it needs to be silenced. It needs to be shut down before it can manifest this bullshit.
They're teaching our prepubescent children to cut their dicks off.
Yeah,
I mean, seriously, I mean, that's a crude way to put it, but that's exactly what's happening there. You know, we have allowed all this unfettered free speech since the Berkeley free speech movement started in the 60s. And of course, we always had free speech encoded into the Constitution. But before the free speech movement, there was a whole lot of common sense that went into that. Like, okay, we're not going to play hardcore pornography at the same theater that we play Sleeping Beauty. kind of stuff. And now, they're teaching children in kindergarten the mechanics of anal sex. I mean, I saw an article just yesterday where, like in Germany, some kindergarten class, they're teaching them plenty of lube, enter slowly. I mean, it was like that specific. And this free speech has gone way too damn far, if you ask me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I agree with that, man. And it's like you were asking me, how did I get involved? And it's like, when you see this shit, I mean, and the Nazis are over here preaching traditional values and everything, and then you see this shit, like you said, they're teaching kids to cut their dicks off. It's like, if you're going to take the moral high ground, you're going to be a fucking Nazi. I mean, How can they even pretend to be? They try to pretend to be moral. I don't get it, man. I mean, it's such a fundamental level, like deep in you, that just kind of rejects this shit and just sees it for what it is, man. And even if you're not religious, I mean, evolution, nature, whatever, this is a perversion of that.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. And the thing about the whole Nazi label is the left, in all its hatred of white people, you know, over the last, I would say that this really ramped up over the last 10 years or so.
Yep.
This calling everybody Nazi. They used to have different terms for it. The terms were equally hateful, but they just happened to be different terms, right? But this calling everything that the left hates a Nazi has really rehabilitated the term, in my opinion, and has created a new definition for it that doesn't have anything to do necessarily with like economic national socialism or any of that. What they've done is they have labeled a particular group, and the label has been taken back from it, because if anything a leftist hates is Nazi, then that means normal people are Nazis. You know, okay, you don't like gay marriage, you fucking Nazi. Or you don't want your daughter to marry Tyrone, you fucking Nazi. Or you don't want to open up your borders to every Somalian and Dodhead and Mexican and Eritrean on earth, you fucking Nazi. You don't like the mass rape of your women, you fucking Nazi. And just on and on like that. Well, eventually people start noticing, wow, these Nazis have some pretty good policies.
Right. And it's almost like like you said, dude, the left is really doing a lot of shit in our favor. I mean, it is essentially the left that pushed me into this. I mean, if you ask anyone, I mean, they're like, you know, it's the left that is causing this to happen. I mean, it always is. It's always a reaction to this Marxist bullshit whenever you have this fascist uprisings and, growing sentiments like this. It's because of the shit the left does. And it's funny because they're called anti-fascist, like they're to respond to fascism. Like, no, dude, we're the response to you.
Right. Yeah. Well, hard right movements always are, because, you know, this, what the left has going is, and always has had going, is basically a permanent revolution. And that's why when you get to the point where we were a few years back, it reaches like this mass density that it's not going to go past. And once it hits that, it just starts getting ridiculous. That's the point where you come, you leave this space that a lot of people considered reasonable, like, you know, say 20 years ago when there was the big push to finally wipe out all the sodomy laws off of the various state laws, they'd say, well, it's nobody's business what two consenting adults do in their bedroom. And you think to yourself, okay, you know, especially as a, you know, back 20 years ago, most people were not accustomed to seeing all this really degenerate in your face faggotry all over the place. So they're all they know is like this, this whitewashed, portrayal of gays in TV series like Will and Grace and things like that was all they knew. And they'd say, well, that makes perfect sense. I mean, it really isn't my business what two consenting adults do in their bedroom. And tons of people agreed with that. And so then they normalized all this faggotry, and they got rid of the sodomy laws. And the next thing you know, you've got activist courts forcing gay marriage on every state in the union. And you've got faggots rolling out into the streets naked during the day for gay pride parades and having the most degenerate, explicit sex right in the streets that you could possibly imagine, and lots of it that you couldn't, right in front of children that dumbass parents are bringing out there to see it. And all these people who were on board with the notion of what they do in their bedroom is their business are suddenly like, no, the people who were against this were right. These people are mentally ill. This is an unnatural act, and they're never going to confine it to the bedroom. They're going to recruit our children.
Right. Yeah, and a lot of that just comes down to this, man. Like that whole, oh, what, that's how I used to feel. You know, whatever they do in their bedroom, whatever, it doesn't matter. Oh, I was a libertarian. I wanted to just be a degenerate myself. I wanted to, you know, have meaningless sex with women, do, you know, get high. And finding, part of finding this whole movement was actually kind of caring about something, actually having, you know, it's not nihilism anymore. It's actually kind of something in me just reacts, dude. When I see, I think like, dude, the future is going to be fucked up. We have to do something now. And it really gives you a meaning and it gives you a purpose. And then having that, you know, I don't know, man, I'm kind of rambling now, but yeah, that's the way I used to feel too, man. It didn't bother me until I realized like, wow, this shit is going to get really bad. And you just start to care, you know? And that's the difference between us and a lot of people is either you do care or you just don't care. You're just in life for the ride and, you know, enjoy it while it lasts, or you want to be part of the timeline. You want to kind of perpetuate our achievements and our existence. And it comes down to that, man. Either people just don't give a fuck. They just want to come and get high, or they want to be part of something bigger.
Right. Yeah. And your journey, as you described it, as you know, coming from libertarian to you know, an alt-right fascist, I think when I first have somebody on the show, I always ask them about that, and that's the most common answer that I get. And it's even true to a certain extent with me, and to a large extent, it's exactly what you said. It's nihilism of the center and the left versus the idealism of the far right, because, you know, and that's a big deal there. It kind of goes to the narrow path versus the broad highway thing, where in this instance, the broad highway, you know, the path that's easiest to tread is this big broad highway of just do whatever the hell you want. You know, it doesn't matter. Just do what you want, because everything's going to come crumbling down around our ears tomorrow anyway. And then on the other end of that, you've got the hard path, which is idealism. And the reason that that's the hard path is because if you're an idealist, you can never actually live up to your own ideals, because you're always struggling to better yourself and to better your society. And you know, that's what makes it the hard path. But a lot of it also, you know, there were and are like libertarians and such who aren't really nihilists. They buy into the stuff that they're talking about. They think that, you know, philosophically speaking, these global free markets and completely unrestricted global movement of peoples and things like that, they have all these theories in their head about why that would be the best thing that could have ever happened to anybody. But for every one of those who's a true believer in that nonsense, you've got 1,000 of them who are like, dude, I just want my weed and my cocaine legal, and I don't think that these uptight universities should be having rules against orgies on the college green, and yeah, whatever. We want free college. That's the weird thing, is you've got this crossover between these neo-libertarians and these leftists, who anarchist types, who, whether they're calling themselves libertarians or anarchists, this is supposed to mean they want the government totally out of their business, and they'll form up in the thousands and demand free everything. But anyway, so yeah, we've got this all these weird ideologies that have popped up. You know, a lot of them are older than World War II, but they took on a lot of momentum after World War II. And, you know, like we see them peak and go away, like the libertarian thing peaked with the 2008 Ron Paul campaign.
Right, right.
And then when that didn't work and things kept getting worse, I think a lot of people who had gotten into that because they thought, okay, this is the best hope we've got right now, because, you know, there were tons of people who weren't real libertarians like myself. I mean, I kind of considered myself one, but I was never into the open borders nonsense. I was always a racial realist. And the reason that I was into libertarianism at the time is because things like Ron Paul said would have done a lot of good for white people. Like, if we had really audited that Fed, that would have probably ended the Jewish domination of creating our currency and setting our interest rates.
Right.
If we had shut off all the welfare and affirmative action, that was the big one. Because, you know, libertarians used to be against affirmative action. They're not now, at least, you know, the ones who speak for the Libertarian Party. But they used to be totally against things like affirmative action and welfare. And if those things had been either severely curtailed or done away with, say, 7 or 8 years ago, we would be, I mean, of course, it wouldn't do half of what we need to restore ourselves to the place that we belong in our countries, but it would have really been a passive way to get a whole lot of the things that we want done. It would have ended this this permanent false black middle class, because every government job and every corporate job has to go to somebody on the affirmative action list. And it would have ended all this, you know, all these Shaniquas having 12 babies by 12 different Tyrones and all that stuff, because they sit home and the government pays for it. So it would have helped, but it wouldn't have done what we needed, because the main reservation that I had, and that I think became clear to most everybody in the alt-right who had previously been libertarians, is that if we're really going to take our countries back, whether you want a fascist type of government forever, whether you want that or not, you're going to have it for a period of years, because you're going to need some real central authority that has the power to just step in and with a stroke of a pen erase the mistakes of the past and replace them with some new program. We're not going to do it through through democratic institutions ever.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And yeah, I mean, Ron Paul wanting to end the Fed, I mean, at the time I didn't really see it as anti-Semitic, but now I'm like, wow, no wonder he got so much fucking resistance. Back then I wasn't woke on the JQ, but I was definitely a Ron Paul fan.
Yeah, and it's hard to get woke on the JQ when you are like either a Ron Paul fan or into the old I guess that what they call now brutalist, you know, the guys like Cantwell, they call them brutalists. I can't remember what they call the new batch of libertarians, these neo-libertarians who are really liberals, espousing libertarianism. But the, you know, libertarianism, is based basically on two things. You got the Austrian school of economics, which was all Jews for the most part, you know, Ludwig von Mises and Murray Rothbard and those guys, all Jews. And it's just basically an exposition of why completely unregulated global trade and that kind of thing is what will save us. When, of course, that's ridiculous, because governments like China are never going to unregulate their trade. They're just going to take advantage of the lack of regulations that we have. But then on the other side of that, you have the philosophical underpinnings of it, which more than anywhere else, they come from Ayn, however you say her first name, Rand, with her objectivist nonsense, you know, all the whole Atlas Shrugged crowd. And that is basically, from the beginning to the end of the philosophy, is a very intellectually shallow and evil glorification of nihilism.
Yeah, and I did read that book, man, and it was kind of, she's her character, the woman character, seemed a little degenerate to me.
Anyway. Dagny Taggart. I first tried to read, or not tried, but did read that when I was about 16, and because a friend of mine's father was totally into that stuff. He was an oil man, and I guess he kind of pictured himself as, modern John Galt or whatever. But the character you're talking about, Dagny Taggart, yeah, she was a slut. that's one of the, like, I was reading the book, and to be honest with you, Rand was not that good a writer, in my opinion. But I'm sitting there slogging through it because this guy has just been, you're a smart young guy, you got to read this book, blah blah blah. And at some point, about a third of the way into the book, it's like every other chapter was just about, it was practically Shades of Grey tier pornography. So I mean, I set it down for a long time over that and finally finished it, but I never found a whole lot in Ayn Rand's philosophy that if you took it out of the realm of politics and applied it to personal behavior, that, I mean, it would be the perfect moral defense for a serial rapist or a serial killer or whatever.
Yeah. And that's just, yeah, that's why I couldn't justify like libertarianism anymore when I was just like, man, I don't know. This whole anything goes kind of shit. Yeah. It just ultimately leads to.
To anarchy, yeah. which is what they claim they want. I mean, and when you start to, you know, if any of the listeners out there are ever in a mood where you want to just hear some really ridiculous shit, just go and go on YouTube and like do a search for voluntaryism. I mean, it's spelled just like it sounds. And, you know, that's a term that a lot of these anarcho-libertarians like to use for themselves. And they'll sit there and try to debate about why this would work in every aspect of society. And when they start talking about two things, one of them is how are you going to pave the roads? And the other one is how are you going to have law enforcement? Then you see how ridiculous these philosophies are. And then the best example, in my opinion, is not the roads. That's the one everybody likes to fixate on. And it is ridiculous. But the police, they constantly say, and you can hear Cantwell talk about this all the time, too. And I really like Cantwell. I was just on his show a couple of weeks ago. But, you know, the guy's totally down with the race stuff and everything. But I just can't agree with the politics and the economics because, okay, it starts off with a very reasonable premise. He says, okay, we're forced to pay for these cops, whether we want to pay for them or not, because they're paid for out of our tax dollars. But the thing is, you know, like right here in New Hampshire where I'm at, I can pretty much go along with that. They do, you know, they don't impinge on your freedom too much, blah, blah, blah. But say I'm in New York, their top priority is going around and grabbing guns, and I don't support that, and I don't want to pay for that with my tax dollars. Sounds reasonable, right? Okay, so what's the solution? Well, according to libertarianism, the solution is to privatize the police, and everybody picks and chooses what private police service they're going to pay for. And now anybody with two brain cells to rub together doesn't need to think about that for more than about 10 seconds to realize that, okay, well, what you're talking about is private gangs, professional gangs.
Right.
And the people who have the most money are going to hire the biggest, most organized professional gangs, and they are going to exercise their will on the people who cannot afford such a great professional gang. And boy, that's libertarian, isn't it?
Right. And it just goes to show you can't get rid of, like, nature, you know, the way nature is built is whoever is the biggest badass with the biggest stick is going to make the rules. I mean, that's the system we have now. That's the system that would come under anarchy. Like you said, whoever's the most top-notch mercenary group and whoever has the money to pay for them. I mean, like, yeah, my weed and all this. What happens when some corporation, pharmaceutical company sends fucking mercenaries to come fuck off your crops and kill you? I mean, that's what you want, isn't it? I mean,
well, right. Well, yeah, no, you're making a good point there. Or, you know, what if, you know, you establish this great libertarian society and then you find out that, like, the vast majority of the people think that your non-aggression principle is just bullshit because, you know, you've taken away all the central authority and you said, okay, whoever arms themselves and trains themselves to the point that they're able to keep their shit, that's who gets to keep their shit. I mean, that's the world these people want. And they don't realize that's the world they want. But if their policies were enacted, that's exactly the world they would have, is that you would have all these atomized people, which if you have your little atomic family, your husband and wife and 2.1 kids or whatever, if you're lucky enough to have that many people under one roof, then they're all armed to the teeth. If they want to keep their shit, they can never leave the house. You know, it's just
right.
It basically like living in a ghetto or something.
And that's kind of like that might be the way things need to be in the future if we keep going down the course we're going. Is everything around you is going to be total shit. You're going to have to be armed and fucking prepared. And that's just not the society we want. I mean, and a lot of people, you know, all these leftists and everything, they want social programs, but then they want multiculturalism. It's like, you know, it wouldn't be, you know, we don't need necessarily this ultimate libertarianism. If we just worked on getting the race thing solved, you could have societies that could have social programs that would be beneficial, and you wouldn't have to fucking have a million guns and a barbed wire fence around your house. You wouldn't need all of this stuff if you just fundamentally looked at human nature and race and applied these things, made these policies. And I guess they hate policy and they hate the idea of central authority and everything, but it's just crazy, man. It's like we're the third position, you know, and more people are waking up to it, man. And
yeah, well, yeah. And that's the thing, is that this libertarianism, natural urge that we have to move kind of in a direction like that, is being used against us probably more effectively than any type of anti-racist programming or anything like that. Because, you know, whenever you get, like, say, in a Twitter debate or something like that with a patriot type or a conservative type, one of their go-to tropes is, oh, you're a Nazi. Nazis are collectivists. Only wimps are collectivists and all this. Well, the only people who say that stupid shit are conservative whites. That's the only people who say, and of course, Jews like to throw that at us. But of course, no one is more collectivist than Jews, regardless of their political philosophy of the individual Jew. But the reason that they do that is they have convinced white people, at least conservative white people, that the individual is absolute prime and nothing else matters. I mean, absolutely nothing else matters except that the individual has his every urge satisfied, because he needs to be a hardy individual and self-sufficient and all that. And of course, nothing like that has ever existed. One of the most old cliche sayings is no man is an island, and that's absolutely true. And going back to what you said, the one with the biggest stick is who runs everything. Well, a simpler way to put that is might makes right. And in the type of societies that we have on Earth now, the only way that you have any might is to identify with your group, preferably your racial group, and you practice collectivist identity politics. Because it's just like what I was saying with you know, the economic thing. If we totally get rid of our regulations and any type of trade agreements that we have, well, the rest of the world's not going to do that, and they're going to take advantage of us. Well, you can look at what's happened to white people over the last 50, 60, 70 years and see how that's played out politically. Oh, we're all individuals. We don't think of ourselves as a racial group. We're conservatives. We're progressives. We're liberals. We're Republicans. We're Democrats. And every single other racial group has been practicing collectivist racial politics, and they've been kicking our asses. They have taken our countries from us with it.
Yeah, and to me, I was an individual for the longest time. I was an individualist, you know, like it was, and that just leads, like you said, dude, that's just not our nature. No man is an island, because I this might just be me, but living for myself only is just not fulfilling. I was always depressed, always black-pilled, because I could never be satisfied. I could never be happy. I just wanted more and more and more for myself. And that's just an empty way to live, man. And once I kind of embraced this collective and was embraced by the collective group, you know, with the alt-right, it's just been, I don't know. It's been a sea change as far as my mental state and the way I feel. You know, it's, I don't want to get too like Buddhist or like religious, but you know, it's like when you do for others and you do for your people, it's just so much more rewarding than just fucking masturbating yourself all the time.
Well, absolutely it is. But the thing is, a man's life has to have meaning. It has to have meaning. That's why every culture has all these religions and all these philosophies and all that. And we have come to the point in this postmodern world that we have where for at least three generations now, we have been taught that life has no intrinsic meaning, that you as an individual, you just go out and, by golly, you give it some meaning, you know, and they have all these shallow things that they say will give it meaning, like, oh, well, you know, if you just learn not to hate, your life will have meaning and blah, 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 whatever. But it doesn't. It provides no meaning. And that's why you've seen the explosion since the greatest generation, you know, the one they call the greatest generation, immediately after them, when they came back from World War II and all this individualism and libertarianism and anti-racism and all this other stuff started getting taught, the rates of alcoholism and drug abuse and suicide and all that among our own people, especially among our young people, it exploded with the baby boomer generation, and it's been going up ever since. I mean, you know, you'll see some goofy day-to-day statistic here and there where some head of the DEA is trying to claim, okay, well, we've got drug use down in the United States by so much, and everybody knows it's garbage. And then when, you know, all the big load of statistics come out every year, it's like, no, it's worse, it's worse. And now it's to the point where we have middle-class kids and upper-middle-class kids, white kids, all over the United States, addicted to fucking heroin.
Oh, yeah. Dude, and hey, I honestly, this year, I mean, since 2017, I've lost seven people that I grew up with that fucking OD'd on heroin. And it's true, man. And we're living in this, like, you know, post-scarcity, you know, world where no one, there's nothing to do except fucking get high. We need a meaning. We need a mission, and we need a fight. I mean, that's our nature. That's how that's how it is, man. And once you realize that, and once you decide to just embrace that idea, it's the opposite of living that shallow life, like you were saying, man. It's just a fulfillment.
Yeah, and the thing that people have to understand is this type of deep moral and spiritual meaning. It's not something that you can pick and choose. It is intrinsically attached to a very few, very specific things. You can't just go out and say, okay, well, you know, I think they've been mean to the faggots for too long, so I'm going to make legalizing public butt sex and transgenderism and all this my mission in life, and that's going to fulfill me spiritually. No, it is not. Glorifying some type of selfish, degenerate behavior and classifying it as brave and something that needs to be fought for and all that is never going to satisfy anybody's soul. But coming into a spiritual awareness of your place in the world and your place among your own people and your place in that historical continuum of your people, that's a thing that will definitely set you on the right path spiritually. When I say spiritually, I don't mean that in like any particular religion. I just don't, there's not a better word for it. And, you know, I've experienced this in my own life because, you know, I'm a Gen Xer, and I came up with the same generation that started all the grunge shit and everything. You know, the most nihilistic bunch that had ever existed up to that point. And, I experienced the same things. I was a hardcore alcoholic and a drug addict for a long time. And once I got to the point of, you know, that I just couldn't take it anymore, the kind of thing that kept running through my mind was, you know, thinking about not just like my distant ancestors, but like my own grandparents and stuff like that. And, you know, look at all the things these people had done and the adversity that they overcame. And I'm sitting here wallowing in apathy and self-pity and all this because I don't like modern life or whatever. And it was really, after several attempts over, you know, a couple of decades to clean myself up, I think it was, accumulating that racial consciousness into myself that gave me what I needed to, you know, get that thing pushed over that hill. And, you know, I've been sober, for over 10 years now. And if there's one thing that's absolutely spiritual, it's anything involving substance abuse, because substance abuse, alcoholism, whatever you want to call it, is a spiritual disease. And the only thing that's going to cure it is a spiritual cure. And that's why almost nothing that they propose as a method of healing drug addicts works. The only thing that's, I mean, the only thing that ever worked for me was getting my mind right about these eternal topics that revolve around our race and our history.
Right. And yeah, for me, I've always loved, you know, European history. I've always loved history in general. And just to think that it will all be just wiped off of the fucking timeline and all of that, dude. I mean, how could you not want to just be part of it? And how could you not just embrace it, like, on a spiritual level? I mean, that sounds kind of weird, but just...
No, it's not weird at all. It's what needs to be said. You've got to, your race and your nation are this thing that's a lot bigger than you. That's why, you know, in our pre-Christian societies, virtually all of our religions were basically ancestor worship. Like, you know, Odin, as the god or whatever, he was a guy that the Vikings believed had actually been a man on earth, who had gone around and done these things and ascended to Valhalla. And he'd been so valorous that now he was like the head god of the whole thing, but that he was actually one of their ancestors. And, you know, these myths and all, they're not something that people just sit down and they say, okay, I'm going to write a morality myth about this particular thing. It comes from a deeper place within us. They're archetypes that express something to us on a level that we cannot with logic properly explain, but that when you present these archetypes to people, they all have the same reaction to it. That's why, you know, if you study Carl Jung, there's a specific number of these archetypes that he laid down, and you go through mythology, whether you're talking about religious mythology, all the way down to silly things like urban myths, and these same archetypes show up over and over. They're somehow encoded into our soul or our DNA or our mitochondrial memory, something like that. And that's the reason that no matter how much they try to stamp out our racial consciousness and our racial memory and all that, they can never do it. The only way that they can ever stop us is if they were somehow to finally kill the very last white person.
Well, I think, like you were saying, like genetically, like I feel like they're trying to like breed it out of us or like, And dude, I don't know. Maybe they are. I mean, maybe they are pushing us. They've cranked up this anti-white narrative so much. Like, maybe they are trying to instigate another race war, and then that'll be the final nail in the coffin. I mean, maybe that is their plan. And, you know, knowing us, you know, we will go out with a fight. You know, if we're going to go extinct, fuck it. We might as well go out fighting. And I feel like maybe they're playing on, I don't know. I don't want to sound too, like, conspiratorial, but you know what I mean. Like, you're right. Yeah. I feel like it fundamentally, like, they are trying to breed that out of us. I feel like there are a lot of whites who are detached from like what you were saying, and it's like goes to the RK selection theory and all of that. But yeah, I worry like that is the ultimate plan. Like, they got to stamp out the last fucking white, or at least the last self-aware, the person who's just, you know, it's just genetic. Either you're just like this rabbit, or you're like a wolf. And once they get all of the gone, then their plans.
The race war thing, that's certainly a possibility, because you see it happening in places like South Africa and Zimbabwe, where they have an actual hot race war going on. I mean, they won't acknowledge that that's what it is, but to anybody who looks, that's obviously what it is.
Right.
And in a lot of ways, you could say that we have the same thing going on right here in America, but it's spread out enough that you have to actually look for it. And, you know, you find it in things like interracial crime statistics. But the... the real danger is us becoming such a small minority on Earth because, and you know, they always want to bring up the race mixing because, you know, if that's the first thing you bring up, it sounds fairly ridiculous that we'll be eliminated via race mixing. But it's not the race mixing itself. It's the fact that most of our young people are not wanting to have children anymore. And then you factor in how the ones who do actually have children now, a significant percentage of them have children with non-whites. And there's a line that's lost forever. But, you know, it's been, I think it was the 2010 census where when people crunched, not you know, the numbers on that, and then factored them in with censuses from all across the globe, where they said, you know, white women of childbearing age are now less than 2% of the global population. Well, that's alarming. That is the razor's edge of genocide right there. I mean, we're not genocide, but extinction. I mean, when you have a situation like that going on, the number of whites who are actually alive doesn't matter. You're talking 2% of the population of the planet who could possibly be giving birth to the next generation of us who are being told on the one hand, do not have babies, it'll ruin your life. And on the other hand, go out and have sex with non-whites.
Tyra. So,
yeah, exactly. Or like in Europe, it's Mohammed, you know?
Yeah. And that's true, man. And like, I'm turning 30 within a few days and I don't have any kids. None of them. We have our local group. Like one of our guys has kids, Ken Reed, the guy who started White Lives Matter. He's in his 40s, but I'm like, that's really telling the generational divide there is he's a Gen Xer. We're millennials and none of us have kids. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's like, we got to do something. You know, I'm, you know, I don't know where to go. I mean, I guess church, but
well, I don't know about that either. I don't know about that either. I was raised a Southern Baptist, and I've talked about this a lot on the show. I don't want to go too deep into it this time, but just suffice it to say that when I was born, when I was a very young boy, they were still holding to their principles. But by the time I was like 14 or 15, it was like every pregnant girl at my high school went to my church, you know, and I mean, I don't think I need to elaborate on that. I don't know that church is the place to find them. The thing is, and you know, it's a problem that it's being addressed a lot. I don't know that the exact white Sharia, of course, is the answer, but I don't know other than white Sharia. I don't know what solutions have been offered that are going to give us any kind of quick relief for it. But, you know, going back like to my generation, at least around here, was the one that got really thrown into the cannibals pot without knowing what was coming. Because like my schools were desegregated year before I was going to go into first grade. So, you know, all of a sudden I was introduced to diversity at school and all that. But the same thing was going on with the sexual stuff. Is my generation was the first generation to have the explicit sex education classes in freshman year of high school and all that. And I still remember more than, I mean, of course, they gave you lots of graphic, you know, point by point. This is how you bring the woman to orgasm and all this stuff. But the overwhelming narrative throughout the whole course was avoid pregnancy by any means necessary. It will ruin your life. And so, you know, I'm sitting around and I'm this guy who was born into a culture that was teaching me go out and find, you know, a fairly pure woman and marry her and have kids and stuff like that. And by the time I'm a junior in high school, every female I know who, you know, other than like the 300-pound girl who never talks to anybody, has had sex with 20 or 30 dudes. You know, they've had sex with everybody you know. Well, who wants to marry that?
Oh, yeah, agreed. Yeah, and well, in my case, it's not so much as that there's a bunch of white sluts. It's just there are no white women. Like I've barely dated any white women. I mean, it's mostly Mexican girls where I live, and it's like now that I'm actually racially aware, it's like, wow, I've noticed how the dating scene. I mean, dude, I could have fucking kids, a Christian wife, whatever, but they wouldn't be white. I mean, it's fucking.
Yeah, dude. Well, you need to get out of Houston, I think, if you're going to find a white woman, because, you know, like I said, I was down there a couple of weeks ago, and that's the first time I've been in Houston since the 1970s, and Houston was plenty non-white back then, but when I was walking around downtown, you know, trying to find my way to the park and all that, I was like, holy shit, man, are we the only white people here? You know?
Yeah. Yeah, you probably were. Yeah. I was thinking maybe kind of going to Austin. I mean, I'm here. I mean, the work is really good in Houston. I mean, we have a pretty good economy here. Actually, I think it's the best in the United States if it hasn't changed. But with the energy corridor and all of that and the ship channel. I read that Austin was actually the best place, you guys, if you're listening. If you're a straight white male, Austin is the third best place in the United States to find a chick. So,
yeah, well, I actually did a little research on that. Well, what you would call anecdotal research. I wasn't looking up studies. I went on because of a conversation like this that I was having with a friend. He and I were in a chat, and we started looking at the various dating sites, the Plenty of Fish and a couple others. And yeah, there were lots of white women looking for dates there, but unfortunately, I mean, it's a mixed bag because the vast majority of them are like these wrecked SJW bitches, you know? Right. I mean, green hair and blue hair abounded in the profile pictures.
Right. And that's why I've kind of decided to, you know, maybe I might have to salvage one of these girls. I mean, dude, the male is going to decide. I mean, women are apolitical, or they just kind of go with whatever dominant forces, you know, if it's this paused ideology, they're going to go with that. But once a man or whoever enters their life, I mean, you can change these women. I mean, if you just have to be a fucking alpha about it, and that's the way I'm looking at it. You know, I might not find a perfect girl. Shit, a girl might even have a kid that whatever, but I just look at it like, hey, I'm the man. I've, you know, women generally kind of go with whatever I kind of, well, make, no,
you're never going to find a perfect girl. And to the women out there, you're not going to find a perfect man either. And the idea that you are is largely responsible for why so many of us are not married or have never been married and don't have any kids. And that kind of thing is because, and this goes more to women than it does to men, because, you know, the way a man is wired, when he gets into that stage of his life and his mid-teens that lasts until he's in his 30s or so, at least, maybe longer than that, if he hasn't gotten married and had kids yet, is that, you know, he's going to fixate on whatever female it is that he fixates on, and he's going to try to win her over and marry her and have kids and all that. And it's more of a hormonal thing in the beginning. And it is with women too. But the thing is, the women will string you along because they're like, okay, I like this guy, but he's not absolutely perfect in every way. And that's where a lot of the divorce comes from and everything else. And it's this thing that has been fed to us by the Jew media that, oh, no, there's, you know, there's nothing that's like nuts and bolts about having relationships and getting married and having kids and all. I mean, it's completely mystical. Nature has seen to it that there's this one person out there somewhere in the world who's the perfect one for you. And you'll know when you find him. And so, you know, they'll have all these, you know,
soulmates.
These serial relationships. And, you know, at some point in each relationship, they come to the conclusion that this person is not the one. And so they leave them in search of the next, the one. And actually, they generally have already been have been having sex with the next, the one, when they finally decide they're going to leave the last, the one. But But yeah, it's a whole mess. But we're bumping up against our time limit here. Is there anything upcoming that you want to bring up, or any plugs for your own personal stuff?
Well, nothing too personal. I'm thinking about starting a YouTube channel, just because there's been a lot of talk about me and I haven't really got to weigh in, you know what I mean? Since all this shit started happening. But just for me, I'm going to be going to Amerind, if anybody's going to that. And also I'm going to go to the Unite the Right thing, where Cantwell and Spencer and Bass Stickman and all those guys are going to be in Charlottesville.
Yeah. I'm going to be there too. I'll see you there.
Awesome. Yeah. So yeah.
Daily Stormer will be live streaming the whole event, and we're going to have backstage coverage and interviews and all kinds of stuff. It's going to be the biggest production type thing on this stuff I've done yet.
Right. And yeah, so we're actually, for that event, we're talking about getting a fash bus, mm-hmm. Similar to the one that was used to wreck into the mosque in England. No, I'm just kidding. We're getting a hate bus, and we're gonna we're thinking of road tripping it from Austin to Houston and then to there. So I suggest yeah. everyone do it, document it, fash the whole fucking countryside on your way there, man.
Yeah, rent vans and RVs and get all your white friends to go, because it's going to be a big deal. This is probably going to be absolutely the biggest of these events that we've had yet.
Yeah, I think so too.
Well, Will, it has been a great pleasure to get you on here. My apologies to the listeners for it taking a couple of weeks to get this interview after the choking and all that happened, but I've started going to these events on the weekend so often that it's thrown off my radio schedule. So starting this Wednesday, expect Hidden Mysteries. I was about to say my old show, Hidden Mysteries Radio. Expect the Crypto Report every Wednesday, starting this Wednesday. And I've already got a really big guest. I'm not going to tease you with who it is yet, but I've got a really big guest scheduled for this Wednesday. So make sure and change your listening schedule from Sunday to Wednesday, because from now on, we'll be doing it like that, so that we don't have to do without a Crypto Report on weeks when I go to these events. Will, it's been a great pleasure having you. It was an even greater pleasure meeting you in Houston and Austin. I hope to see you at a lot of these things in the very near future. Hail victory, brother.
Hail victory.